Mark, I have a big question for you today.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were younger, did you ever have exposure to occult items like tarot cards or Ouija boards, things that kids sometimes bring to parties like sleepovers?
No, honestly, I can't say that I ever had any exposure to those things. Lara, well, how about you?
Well, yes, when I was younger, there was somebody who brought in tarot cards into our house. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And so, you know, they were saying, you know, try them, play with them. And so interesting because I did that a little bit, but I felt a strange feeling. I felt there was a darkness to them. It's very interesting, but I've always been a sensitive person. But looking back, it came in so innocently. And, you know, these days we're seeing things like tarot cards sold in kids' toy sections at different retail stores. And, you know, really marketed, I noticed, to young adolescents. Like, I'm noticing a certain age group. And even documentaries from, you know, prominent pop figures that are in acting and music, documentaries about their journey with things that are occult related, like witchcraft. These are really, really big, big developments in society right now. But we've got to speak into this and really cast some true light on it. That's why I'm so excited about your guest today.
Yes, an amazing guest today. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the 100 Huntley Street podcast with Lara Watson and Mark Masri. Today, my guest, Dr. John Thompson, a theology professor, the pastor actually of my church in Ajax, Ontario, and an incredible human being, but also has been very much at the forefront of deliverance ministry in and around our area in the East End of Toronto, and has written this amazing book chronicling the journey of deliverance ministry that he has been a part of and has helped develop in our church community. They call it restorative prayer. I'm not surprised to hear you say, Lara, that there was something that didn't feel right about the tarot card you know, just playing with the tarot cards, because John's foray into deliverance ministry started when he was a teen counselor at a Bible camp. And one of the girls came up to him that was attending the camp and said, John, I have something to tell you. I've been playing with tarot cards and something doesn't feel right about it. My friends and I have been dabbling. And in that moment, he had this conservative Baptist upbringing, and he was like almost pretending that he hadn't heard what he had just heard. He felt like, you know, dealing with the demonic was something that only Jesus did in the New Testament, and it wasn't an issue in the 20th century. What he came to realize was that there was something very real happening in culture, even in the culture of Christians, Lara. And so he has made it a big part of his ministry to be vocal and to teach and to study and to help people's understanding of what it means to dabble in spiritual things, small s. And there is such a hunger in society today. You know, everything is light and love and you know, energy and intentionality and all of these different key catchphrases and words that people are using to talk about being aware, being present in sort of a spiritual sense, sort of having your antenna up to what might be going on in the spirit realm. And we know as Christians, we're not just flesh and blood, but there are principalities and powers. We are living in a very active spirit realm. And so we're going to be talking about that today. Super deep conversation, very insightful. When I read his book, I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I had, because it reads like a third and fourth year theology student. It is one of his prescribed texts for his students in third and fourth theology. So wow. I think I got a crash course on deliverance ministry, or restorative prayer, as they call it. But really fascinating conversation.
Oh, so fascinating. You know, Mark, you've pointed out so many good things just now. You know, I think about this concept of light and love, and, you know, there is spiritual power all around us, but where is the source of that power?
Right.
And, you know, even in the Bible, it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that the enemy, like Satan, can appear as an angel of light. It's a very confusing experience sometimes as we're trying to make spiritual connections. You know, there's that old saying that we all have a God spot in our hearts. So we are trying to connect to the spiritual realm for good reason. But what I love about your interview with John is it dispels a lot of the myths, and it shows us a safer path forward that's full of the true power of God and safety. Right?
And absolutely. Absolutely. Well, without further ado, I think we should go to the conversation with Dr. Pastor John Thompson.
Mm-hmm. My guest today is author, theology professor, and pastor, my pastor, I might add, Dr. John Thompson. And in his latest book, Deliverance, he addresses the subject of spiritual freedom. He joins me today to help unpack the dynamics of what's really going on here, whether we can see it or not. Welcome, John.
It's great to be here.
So good to have you. There is such a fascination with the supernatural, the spirit realm, and many churches are afraid to tackle this subject of deliverance. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are afraid because they actually don't have a biblical worldview to start with. One of the things that, yeah, I mean, you know this because we're in a church together, but before you were part of our church, we were a very conservative, very non-charismatic, non-Pentecostal church. And we were like, we don't want to touch this. We're not interested in this. Those weird people down the street deal with this stuff. We'll see them in heaven. Other than that, we're out. But if you read the scriptures, we live in an organic universe, which means that God interferes with humanity. Humanity is interacting with spiritual. So actually, to have a biblical worldview, you can't be afraid of this because this is capital R reality. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be honest about it.
I found it interesting. You tell the story about your foray into deliverance ministry as a young Christian camp counselor.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, really simply, I was at a very conservative camp. Again, not our thing. And I had a young woman come to me and she was like, look, I'm a Christian. I've grown up in the church. I've been baptized. But you know, my friends were playing with tarot cards. I did it. I think that's wrong. And I was thinking in my head, get me out of here. I don't want to deal with this. So all I remember is I said to her, well, I don't think Jesus likes that. I know it's not probably the way to connect with the supernatural. So I remember Neil Anderson had a book called Bondage Breaker. So I grabbed that because it's the only thing I knew. There was a prayer in the back. And I led her in this prayer just to renounce that. And every time she tried saying tarot card, she couldn't speak. And I was like, what in the world's going on? I thought she was having a problem. Like, what's your problem? I'm an Enneagram 8, not a lot of mercy. I was like, come on, let's go. And then I realized she couldn't talk. So I got really afraid and said, well, in Jesus' name, let her speak. And then she screamed out tarot card. And I was like, and then she was different. And I was like, what the heaven just happened? And then I realized, everything I read in the scriptures, and I'm an MK, I grew up overseas, I've been to 40 countries, and I was like, this is real. I didn't want to deal with this. Here I am in a conservative camp, not looking for it. So how am I going to learn about this without becoming obsessed, weird about it, but also trying to help people well? And that was the beginning of a journey I wanted nothing to do with.
Interesting. You know, you talk about having a biblical worldview, right? And that you can't deny the fact that we live in right in the midst of a spiritual dynamic that's going on all the time.
All the time.
You know, principalities and powers, the Bible talks about that. And we know in the Synoptic Gospels, there are multiple references to Jesus' interaction with the demonic and deliverance. And even in Acts, we know that, that was certainly the case there. You know, what can we take from Jesus' interactions that we need to learn and apply today in our interaction with the supernatural?
Yeah, so one of the things that really helped me when I walk through this academically, theologically, personally, pastorally, is I didn't just approach Jesus's conversation with the demonic as sort of history. I viewed it as case study. What can I actually learn from Jesus? And it was a very freeing thing. One of the wild things, and again, this is a short interview, but that was so helpful for me, is when Jesus confronts Legion and he commands Legion to leave, Legion doesn't leave immediately. And I was like, hold on, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. All creation exists because the Father used Jesus to, and he had the ability, or they had the ability to resist him. That was profoundly helpful for me because I was like, when I'm praying for people, what am I doing wrong? Why didn't they leave? You know, I put up the Bethel music really loud and I said Jesus' name. What's going on? Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. This isn't a phony war. This is a real war. And they have real power. I get frustrated in Christian circles where like Satan has no teeth and no, there are real casualties in this and there's real power in this. The question is, who has ultimate power? So it was very freeing for me to see that. And the other thing is just to see the care Jesus had for people. There's a great example in the Synoptics where a dad brings a child to Jesus. And it's a really mind-bending thing because Jesus says, how long has he been like this? Mm-hmm. And he actually says his child, if you're in the original language, it almost means from the womb. So like that messes your theology because what did this little child do to get this? That's not even the right question. But Jesus, before the crowd runs into, see what happens, helps him. So it's not a show.
Right.
He deeply cared for this kid. And that's one of the things I've loved learning at the feet of Jesus, is when we help people dealing with supernatural darkness, it's not a show, it's not about me, it's not about, it's actually about this person and the mercy Jesus wants to show this person.
Yeah, and to reference that particular instance in the Gospels where Jesus delivers that young boy, it begs the question, is generational deliverance sometimes necessary? Are curses possible?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think is really helpful to understand is a lot of people, especially in charismatic or evangelical or more conservative environments, think, I have to do something for that thing to be present. Mm-hmm. One of the great Roman Catholic scholars in the New Testament was Raymond Brown, and when he was reflecting on that passage, he said, sometimes we just need to acknowledge that the world is owned by the evil one, and that's just the result of living in that world. It's not even generational stuff or curses. It's a question of ownership. And if your audience really wants to struggle with scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the minds of unbelievers are blinded. They cannot see the gospel. That actually means that every non-Christian on earth, the most sincere, kind Muslim neighbor you have, the great friend who's mindful and does yoga, or the atheist next to you who's just great, they don't even have the ability to see the gospel because there is a supernatural blindness that is real. And in 1 John, it actually says the whole world's owned by the evil one. That's post-cross. So I think if we're really going to get serious about this conversation, one of the best things Christians could do without becoming obsessive or weird, or do we actually believe what the scriptures actually just teach about this? And in my interactions, the answer usually is no, even with pastors and leaders.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the million-dollar question.
Okay.
We know demons' objective is to harm, torment people. That's the number one objective, right? To take you out.
Yep.
Are Christians immune to this threat?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So let's work it out like this. Can they harm us in the ultimate sense? Absolutely not. They can't do that because Ephesians 1. Predestined, I'm a Calvinist, really predestined, depends on where you land. But anyway, predestined, owned, adopted, and sealed until the day of redemption. So can they take away that? No. Can they stop the resurrection that we're going to experience at the end of time? Absolutely not, because Jesus has promised, if I'm in him, I get resurrected. The question is, in between now and the end of time, can they affect us? Of course they can. They can never own us, but they can affect us in two ways. If you just read the scriptures, or let's talk about the global church, 350 million of our brothers and sisters right now in closed countries suffering persecution, much of it demonically oriented, they're being harmed.
Right.
So this is a real war. The book of Revelation says, one of you might die because you're living in this environment. The other thing to really struggle with though too is, in Ephesians, I love Ephesians because Ephesians 1 says, here's all this amazing stuff, right? Elected, saved, adopted. Ephesians 2, seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 3, the church is the living symbol of Satan's defeat. Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God. Ephesians 4, oh, by the way, elected, saved, all in, adopted, sign of the devil's feet. Just so you know, if you habitually play with anger, you'll give the devil a foothold inside of you as a Christian. So I just want to stop and say this. When you hear the word possession, Mark, what do you think?
Well, I can't help but have images, of the way that Hollywood has depicted demon possession.
But think about the word. When I say I possess something, what would you say?
To be filled with, to be controlled by.
Right, that's right. So these are my glasses, so right. I own them.
Yes.
The crazy thing that we've all missed is there are five Greek words that the Greeks used to own something. They had not one, they had five. They loved owning. They would have done very well at Yorkdale, right? Like, they loved owning things.
Yeah.
The wild thing is every time in an English translation of the Bible you read demon possessed, you think demon owned. But those five words are never used. It just means demon present. Mm. So here's the thing that we begin to see. You see this in Luke 13. You see this in Ananias and Sapphira. You see this in Ephesians 4. You can be saved. The Spirit of Jesus is in you. You're adopted. But if you, through habitual sin, as an example, the word is topos in Greek, foothold, inside residence, they can be present but not own you. So this is the wild thing. You can be heavenly owned and still have something internally that doesn't own you but influences you even though you're saved.
You look at scripture and it makes sense, right? When you have that biblical worldview. Okay, so let's take it outside of the church for a minute.
Sure, okay.
We're living in a hyper-spiritualized world. You know, everything is about light and love and,
mindfulness.
Mindfulness, yep. And, intentionality and all those great things, so to speak. Mm-hmm. What words of caution do you have for people? Because it's not as it appears.
Yeah, one of the best ways to think about this, just to begin the conversation with the audience, is think about a socket in a wall. And it's about electricity. If you plug in something, right, you get electricity. The question is not, is there electricity? The question is, where is the source of the electricity coming from? And if you listen to, like, John, for example, the Apostle John in 1 John, he talks about the spirit of Antichrist, not the actual Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist. And what's so concerning about that is the spirit of Antichrist imitates Jesus. So I know Hindus and Muslims who speak in tongues. And I know Pentecostals who speak in tongues. Mm. The question is not the activity, the question, because they both might look good. It's the source. So one of the big things we need to do as Christians in this post-Christian, post-modern, ultra-supernatural, and yet very secular moment, it's a weird blend right now, is to ask ourselves, what do the scriptures say to us about certain activities? Because they even might produce good in our life in the short term, but it's a long con. So we've got to take what Paul said, what James said, what Peter said, what Moses said, because it's all inspired by Christ, by his spirit, and say, okay, what activities are forbidden? Because at the end of the day, I might be connecting with something I shouldn't be, even though it might feel good and even might help me in the short term, even though it's not from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would be a word of caution that you might offer to someone that might be dabbling in something that they think is completely innocuous, like harmless, whether it's tarot cards, they're going to psychics, they're getting readings, Ouija boards. I mean, birthday parties have Ouija boards.
100%. Well, not just all of that stuff. It's even like, what are you reading? What are you thinking about? You know, what authors are inspiring you? Here's what I just want to say. There is a belief in many people in North America that you have to believe it's dangerous for it to be dangerous. That's not the biblical worldview. Mm. If you play with, I don't care that Mattel makes Ouija boards and makes Barbie. It's irrelevant. If you play with fire, fire shows up. So just flee from it, because actually, here's the great thing. I've been involved in helping people deal with the demonic for now 20 plus years. And I've seen some pretty weird stuff and some pretty normal stuff in all of that stuff. Jesus is so much better. Mm-hmm. No, really, like some of you are out there playing with this stuff because you think there's gonna be more power. No, there's no one more powerful than Jesus. Or they're going to help you. No, Jesus is the better helper. So many people begin going to these places because their prayers aren't answered, because God didn't do what he was supposed to. I'm just telling you from experience, the end game is always better with Jesus, because he's just better than them.
Yeah, I mean, and the scripture's very clear about, you know, the devil coming as an angel of light, right? Always masquerading as Jesus, as the real thing. But he's not. It's not until you get down the road that you realize that it's not the real thing.
Right.
Here's an honest question for someone watching right now, John. Should we be scared?
So that's a great question. And the answer is no and yes. So sorry. Let me work it out
now
like
I'm completely
this.
Confused.
No. Let me just do it like this. Should we be ultimately scared? No. Listen, Jesus has defeated these things. Colossians 2:15 is my favorite verse. It says, when Jesus rose from the dead, it gives heaven's view of what happened at the cross. It literally said the demonic had to parade behind Jesus because he had defeated them. That's the truth. Do they have ultimate power? No. They are ancient, but we serve the Ancient of Days. They're incredibly powerful. Our God is all powerful. It's a different quantity. But should we have a healthy respect and fear for them? Of course we should, because this is not a game. This is a real war, and we have to take them seriously, but take our God more seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throughout your years at Sanctus Church, which I attend and you're the pastor of, along with a bunch of other wonderful ministry leaders, you describe the matrix, which has become the deliverance ministry of the church.
Yeah.
You call it restorative prayer.
Yeah.
How has almost 20 years of this kind of ministry changed and evolved based on your understanding of scripture and experience and case study, if you will?
Yeah, one of the big things we wanted to do from the beginning is make sure that we dealt with this holistically, working with doctors, psychologists, nurses, making sure that mental illness was one thing, and it does exist, and it's real, and that's another conversation. So how do we discern what's demonic? What's mental illness? What happens if those things combine? What's physiological? So that was a thing we've taken very seriously, trying to work out processes so we care for people. It's not just this thing. How do we care before, during, and after? We've gone through 4 iterations of this ministry, and during COVID, it collapsed, and we're rebuilding it again. Mm-hmm. The use of spiritual gifts has been massive for us, because most people that deal with this just talk about common authority. We're all in Jesus. We have authority. But we've actually tried integrating spiritual gifts at the heartbeat of this ministry. So at one point, we had over 100 volunteers in this ministry in our church, and we were helping them identify spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts, like discernment or words of knowledge or miracles or administration or faith, were being used collectively to see people set free. That has been a revolutionary for us. And lastly, just ever-growing humility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's the deal.
Yeah. It's not us, it's him.
Oh, no. And right. It's about the person, and it's about their freedom. And we got to do this, right? Have we made mistakes? A million mistakes. But we're just trying to be faithful long term in one context.
For someone that's watching right now that may feel like they're dealing with some kind of oppressive spirit,
yeah.
They're not sure. What might be a checklist that you would have them go down, or to be able to identify that which may be tormenting them, is coming from a spiritual source?
Yeah, first thing, always do this in community. Never do this alone. Hang it with pastors. Hang it with a Christian counselor. Like, do some work beforehand, because it might be mental illness. It actually might be you. You know, a lot of people love blaming stuff on the devil. And we have 3 enemies, not one. We've got worldliness, which are world systems. We've got our sinful flesh stuff that we like doing stuff we shouldn't. That's why it's called trespassing. Not allowed to go to that place. And then there's demonic influence. You know, in the book I've written at the end, there's some checklist stuff. But I still think even Neil Anderson, though I arrive in some different places than him, even in his book, The Bondage Breaker, how he does some checklist stuff at the end, that is very, very helpful. But I think the great thing is, if the person listening is a Christian today, is to, without fear, sit with Jesus, the true Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Son of God, and say, look, could you begin to help me understand if this is even true? By your Spirit. Because if it's not, help me understand. And if it is, great. And would you begin to lead me to people that are going to be able to help me? He is amazing how there's divine setups everywhere I go, where in all sorts of churches, someone is struggling and suddenly the right person comes at the right time. But I think a checklist to go, have I participated in things I'm not supposed to? Has my family been doing this? Ethnic origin stuff too? Mm-hmm. Has my family or ethnic community been dedicated to a certain God or tribal deity? All of that's a beginning point. And I know it's a short interview. You're
yeah.
Like, oh, that could be 5 hours of conversation.
For the person that's watching that hasn't made the decision to follow Jesus,
yeah.
That's a very different conversation.
Totally.
Because I know the starting point for any deliverance that you and your team, your ministry team, are a part of, starts with a decision to make Jesus number one in your life.
Yeah, so the question that we have to wrestle with as human beings is, who do we want owning us? Because the belief that we own ourselves is just a lie. And the scriptures are clear, there's only 2 kingdoms and 2 kings or 2 princes. And so either you're owned by the kingdom of darkness. That doesn't mean every non-Christian is evil and possessed. Mm-hmm. It just means positionally, they are owned by the kingdom of darkness. And the only way to get full freedom is switch sides. And the only person who can help you switch sides is Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who kept the law of God perfectly. He's the only one who had the power to die in our place and deal with sin. He's the only one who's come back from the other side and has told us what it is. He's the only one who's broken death, and he's the only one who faced down Satan and took him out. So if you want to switch sides, the only way to switch sides is through the guy who's done the work. And it's not about you, it's about him. Because what do I bring to the table? Nothing. I have got nothing, but he's got everything.
Yeah.
So you got to just say, like, Jesus Christ, Son of God, you know, second person of the Trinity, you got to do the work for me if I got to get free, because I got nothing.
Well, that's so good, John. And there's so many layers to this subject. I know we've just scratched the surface, but the takeaway is that Jesus came to set the captive free. And thank you for sharing that, for unpacking that for us today in our brief moments together. And for those of you that are watching, that's something about what John said about wanting to change sides. If you want to leave that kingdom of darkness and start a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that we've got prayer partners that would love to introduce you to the person of Jesus and start you on that journey. The phone number is 1-866-273-4444. We are there any day of the week, 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We are there for you, and we would love to pray with you in that regard. John, thank you for being with us, reminding us and encouraging us that freedom is possible. And God bless you.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
As a child fears the dark, we often fear what we can't see. The Bible reminds us 365 times not to fear, because God wants us to put our trust in Him. If you would like to see your way out of the dark, call our 24/7 prayer lines at 1-866-273-4444 or visit crossroads.ca/24/7prayer. Anytime, anywhere, we're here for you.
Oh, wow. What an insightful interview. He is an incredible man. John is very, very bright. I love the points he's making, but also he's speaking the truth in love. There's a passion for people to experience freedom and to know how to practice their spirituality, but from a very safe and life-giving place where we know the source. He's got so much to share. This is super cool, Mark. I loved it.
Oh, I know. My goodness, Laura, I can't tell you the sleepless nights that I had preparing for this interview because I wanted to do it justice. And it's a very sensitive subject matter because, you know, a lot of people are innocently dabbling with this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I asked him the question, should we be scared? I mean, I honestly asked him, should we be scared? And he said, as you know, as believers, followers of Jesus, yes and no. You know, the reality is we have to be able to dial in, discern what the source of the power is. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you stick the plug of an appliance into an outlet in the wall, you can be guaranteed that that appliance is going to be powered up as long as we're not dealing with a power outage.
Yeah.
The big question is not whether or not there'll be power there, but what is the source of that power, right? And so that's what we need to be very discerning about.
Yes.
And just trying to understand whether or not it aligns with the message of the gospel. Mm. You know, what is our worldview? Do we have a biblical worldview? And does this thing that we are dabbling in align itself with a biblical worldview? And so I think that his caution was, be careful in the sense that, you know, don't be playing with fire. Mm-hmm. Because if you play with fire, the Bible talks about giving the devil a foothold,
yes,
right? So just giving him enough of a crack in the door so that he can get his toe in there and maybe,
yes,
stir things up and create, yeah, problems for us. We want to be very diligent and vigilant, if you will. And we were talking about this earlier, you know, that some stores now, like the equivalent to dollar stores, are starting to make tarot cards,
yeah,
available for kids to,
yep,
buy, you know,
yeah,
like
in
a
the
toy
activity
store,
section.
In the activity section. Yeah. I mean, so it seems like, oh, is this just, you know, another card game? Is this innocuous? Is this not really anything to be concerned about? No, it really is. Yes. And recognizing it for what it is. But yeah, understanding as followers of Jesus, we do have an authority that is only found in Jesus.
Yes.
He is the ultimate source of the power and the light, capital L. He said, mm-hmm, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that. Only, yeah, he has the authority to say that.
Yeah.
And yeah, when we can wrap our heads around that, realize the authority that we have, we can put the devil and all of his demons in the rightful place.
Yes. And you know, as Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, he also said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? So he is saying, I am the way to God. That spot in your heart where you're feeling so hungry for connection and you're saying, do I try tarot cards? Do I go to this psychic? Do I use crystals? What do I do? Because I feel this spiritual draw. I'm having interesting dreams. But can we challenge you right now to consider Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Consider him. Try him first. I know we can dabble with all these different things. And sometimes we do that because we're seeking healing.
Right.
Right? We're seeking clarity. We're seeking growth.
Answers.
And
we're
answers.
Looking for answers.
And these are all honest, beautiful things, but that's what God is inviting us to find as we meet Jesus. And as we read his word, as we read the Bible, it will change your life. And you know all those little tugs you're getting? Those are from your creator. So let's go to that ultimate source. Let's go to the true source of energy. And if you've never done that before, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, can we encourage you to try him first? Try him first, because if you've listened to our interview, you know that it's the right way. way, in the safe way, and you know the results will be life-giving and not harmful. And it's a simple, let's just do it. You know, you can pray with us right now. We just say, Jesus, oh, Jesus, we just want to try to follow you. Show us the difference as we follow you. We ask that you would become our Lord and Savior. We ask that you would enter our hearts and our minds, that we would begin to put you first. God, we ask for forgiveness for all of the times that we have tried different things that we know in our hearts aren't from you, but we're trying to connect. God, we thank you that you would lead us in your love, that you would resurrect our hearts and our minds and our relationships. In Jesus' name we pray and ask for these things. Amen.
Amen.
And if you prayed along in that prayer, you know, call our prayer lines and call our prayer partners. And the reason why is because they want to encourage you on this journey with Jesus. They have resources and tips. The prayer lines are anonymous. And I have to tell you, Mark, you know this. I called into those prayer lines when I was 20 years old because I really wanted strength. And that's what I left with. I left with a new sense of who God was and who I am. So that number for the prayer lines is 1-866-273-4444. And again, I'm going to say it, 1-866-273-4444. It's an exciting journey you've just started. And Mark, it's the journey that is authentic. It's authentic and really connected to the true source of power.
Absolutely. And John talked about it towards the end of our interview. If you just want to change sides, I mean, that's what you've just done.
Yes.
Because there's two kingdoms. It's either kingdom of darkness or kingdom of light. Yeah. And Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of that kingdom of light. Yes. And you have made that decision to change sides, and it's a beautiful thing. And just by denouncing any of the stuff that maybe has crept in from just like just innocently dabbling in some of the things that we've talked about, know that Jesus comes in and makes a difference. And one of the key things that John said, if you feel like you might be dealing with some sort of oppressive spirit or whatever, we want to encourage you, get into a church, seek deliverance, restorative prayer in community. Don't try to do it alone. Because the enemy wants nothing more than to try to get you off on your own, make you feel like you're basically destitute, you're without hope. No, there is hope in Jesus. We just can't tell you enough that Jesus loves you. He desires that wholeness for your life, that sense of well-being and completeness that only He can bring into your life. So thanks so much for joining us today. This has been Laura and Mark and the Huntley Street Podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us week after week as we tackle some of these great, these sometimes difficult subjects, but with great authors and great resources to help you on your faith journey. Until the next time, we're signing off.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Centre of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.